evening.
Good evening.
Malka, it's just the two of us right now, so.
Okay.
Do you want to go forward or you want to wait?
No, we can wait.
Okay. I'm not sure what's going on with Sana, because I know she was in the emergency room yesterday with Tony, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't heard what the results
were.
Yeah,
I haven't heard either. But we can wait. We can wait a little bit.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to go mute for a second.
All right. Malka, you don't have to unmute your phone. I just got a text from Brandy saying that she's flooded.
I'm sorry, Hanout, could you repeat that?
I just got a text from Brandy saying that she was flooded, or the area was flooded.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's
right.
Flooded. But.
Okay. Well, we can just try again tomorrow's Shabbat.
Right.
Okay.
We'll do it on Monday.
Okay. No problem.
We will.
Thank you.
Hold on a second. I think somebody just came.
Brandela.
I was getting a text saying that you were flooded.
Yeah. Not so much my street. But our area is, some people, they're having to take out in boats. Some people are having mandatory evacuations. We had a tremendous amount of rain fall within, I think, 54 inches within a 24-hour period.
I heard it was just unreal, so. So we can go forward if you like. Malka, you're still there, I hope?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So we are starting section 33 today. We had started that section before, and we'd gotten through four verses. But rather than start where we left off, I want to start the section over so that we still have, we'll bring our memories back, because it's been quite a while since we were there. So I'll start with the Lashem Yehud, and we're going to start with verse 346. This is from section 33 on Parashah Lech Lecha. Lashem Yehud kudsha barichu ishkinte bidchilu urchimu udchilu udchilu urchimu le'akta l'shem yudhe bavavhe v'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah lasok Torah mitzvah v'yehi noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu k'nenei aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu k'nenehu. Utahatse bekol inun, the oak mean the nishmatin, the alma kalho, zivugin, zivugin kameya, levatar kad ajan, lahai alma kuchabrihu, mizawig, was mizaget wig. Zivugin Amar Rabbi Yitzhak Kudsha Barichu Amar Bat Peluni Pitli No Loni. The translation. Come and see. All the souls that are destined to come to the world appear before him as couples, which means that each soul is divided to a male and female. Afterward, as they arrive in this world, the Holy One, blessed be He, matches them together. Rabbi Yitzhak said, the Holy One, blessed be He, says, the daughter of so-and-so to the so-and-so. My commentary, the pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, if he matches them up, then does he put them in the same place so they can find each other? Or does he put them in different places so it's difficult to find each other?
It depends on the merit of the souls. When Adam was born, or when Adam was created, he was created with Eve within the same body. They were back to back. When Cain and Abel were born, their twin sisters were born, the people they were to soul, their soulmates that they were to be married to. As the generations come along, we see Abraham, his sister, who is his cousin, they have the same father but a different mother, is his soulmate. Isaac has to travel, not he doesn't have to travel, but Eliezer, the servant, has to travel back to the homeland and to be with the soulmate who's Rivka. But she is coming from his family, not from closer by. Then Jacob has to travel back to the home country again, and he marries the two women. But essentially, according to the Midrash, Rachel was to be his wife, and Leah was to be Esau's wife. But Esau was a Rasha, a wicked person, and she cried to God and had it changed so that she became his soulmate. But we have Rachel as the soulmate connected more to the physical, to the Malchut, and Leah is more connected to Bina, the world that is coming, which is why Leah is buried in the cave with him and Rachel is on the road. Then when it comes to Joseph, Joseph is supposed to have married the adopted daughter of Potiphar's wife, or Potiphar and his wife. And that adopted daughter was, according to one midrash, is the daughter of the rape of Dina, the child that came from the rape of Dina. So we have, I'm trying to get across to you this whole history of soulmates. Today, there are very few soulmate marriages. Today, it's much more difficult to find your soulmate. But over the centuries, as the people we all felt spiritually, the distance between the soulmates, physical distance, has gotten larger and larger. So the Ari teaches us that our soulmate can be living right next door to us as we grow up, but we never think of them as potential mates. We think of them as the neighbor girl or the neighbor boy. We don't have any connection to them on a soulmate level, on thinking about them of getting married. And the one of the five steps of getting married, of identifying a soulmate, is that one of them has to cross a sea. And that can be that literally they cross the Pacific or they cross the Atlantic to meet each other. Or it can be that they're right next door to each other and they don't think of themselves as potential mates until one day they wake up and they say, oh my God, this is a person that I really identify with. But either way, the concept of crossing a sea is still there. And the last time I answered these questions, I said there are five steps to identify the soulmate. One step is that they cross the sea, as I've just explained. Another step is they have complementary astrology, so that a fire sign is connecting to an air sign, and a water sign is connecting to an earth sign. But again, you have to look at the whole chart. Then there is a third step, which is when the soulmates meet and they're deciding to get married, their families are against it. They're absolutely against it. They argue with them. They keep talking badly about the other person. They don't want the marriage to take place. And that is because the soulmates, when soulmates marry, there's a tremendous revelation of light. And the negative system is trying to stop that revelation of light by not letting the two people come together and get married. So that is a third step. But as soon as the marriage takes place, the families accept it and they're very happy together. The fourth sign is that a soulmate marriage means there needs to be a spiritual goal to be with them. So they together, they have a purpose. That spiritual goal could be to bring us certain types of people, certain children, but it's also, it could be that they work together to bring greater light revelation, more greater spirituality into the world. That's the fourth step. And the fifth step only occurs after the marriage. So you might have four of the steps, but you don't really know if it's a soulmate until 20, 30, 40 years into the marriage. Because the fifth sign is that the marriage of soulmates grows stronger and closer together every year of their marriage. They just get closer and closer together, and their love continues to grow. And that is the fifth sign. But you don't know that on the day of your marriage. You have to wait and experience life together in order to know if you're truly a soulmate. The last time I did that, I couldn't remember the having a spiritual goal together. That was the one I missed. But now you've had all five complete. Should I go on to the next verse, or are we still have questions?
You can go on to the next verse. That's a lot to contemplate.
Okay. Yes, it is. And I will say, even though you may not think your soulmate, your current marriage is your soulmate, it doesn't mean that you're not, it's not a soulmate at this time in this lifetime. So there is one cosmic soulmate, which literally your souls were created together. But you don't come into meeting in a lifetime unless the person has achieved their tikkun. And when they have achieved their tikkun, there is one final step that only that soulmate is going to help you achieve that final step. That's what the spiritual goal together is all about, your tikkun together. But most marriages are not soulmates today. But that doesn't mean that the affinity, the love between two people in a marriage isn't the correct marriage for your soulmate right now. They become your soulmate when you walk under the chuppah and you say this, the vows and the seven blessings of the Sheva Brachot, of the marriage ceremony. So literally, you do get married to your soulmate, but it's not your cosmic soulmate. It's a soulmate that has the purpose of helping you achieve the goals and the tikkun, the corrections that you need to achieve to grow spiritually so that in your next lifetime you can meet your soulmate, your cosmic soulmate. And as you said, Brandy, there's a lot to think about, a lot to contemplate. Hey, Pasuk 347. Amar Rabbi Yosei, Ma'eka Ma'erei, Wehaketiv Ein Kol Chadash, Tachat HaShemesh, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Tachat HaShemesh, Yativ Shane Leela Amar Rabbi Yose Maika Rosa Haka Wiha Amar Rabbi Cheskia Amar Rabbi Chiyo Beha Hiyo Shata Mamash Denapik Barnash Lialma but to go is dumb, not slow. The translation. Rabbi Yossi asked, what is the meaning of this? That is, of the statement that the Holy One, blessed be He, announces who goes with whom. How can this be true, since it is written, and there is nothing new under the sun, which means that everything was settled during the creation of the world. However, according to what you have said, the action of matchmaking is new each time, because the matches must be announced. Rabbi Yehuda said, it is written under the sun, yet above the sun new things can take place. Rabbi Yossi asked, why does he have to make an announcement? Since Rabbi Chizkiah said that Rabbi Chiya said that at exactly the time a man is born and emerges in the world, his spouse is assigned to him. My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, this pasuk is clear as written. Does this Zohar teach and hint that souls are still being created? Do you think a female's decision to come down or not to come down creates the need to have Hashem announce who marries to whom? Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well,
I think that is it.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Brandy.
I was going to say, do you think if the woman decides not to come down, does he assign another soulmate?
Well, she is guaranteed if she comes down and her soulmate is not ready for her, she will be given, she will marry another person, and she will be happy with that. It's not that she's missing anything. And that's what I was discussing, that you're married to your soulmate for that lifetime. Because otherwise, no woman would come down knowing that her soulmate wasn't going to marry her. But in reality, she comes down to bring children, and she comes down to help the person that she does marry grows spiritually, and she receives merit for that, which helps her soulmate, her cosmic soulmate, to grow spiritually and to become worthy of being with her.
So at the same time, they're growing spiritually when she comes down, not to marry her soulmate, come down to help with the tikkun of a soul, and at that same
Correct.
Time, her soulmate is growing as well because
Correct.
Of her merit.
Because of her merit, correct. You have to remember the rules and the discussions that come from the Ari. We're discussing generations that were before the 1500s. But since the 1500s, since the Ari, we've had a movement, and the metaphor is that the sun, the moon is growing to the level of the sun, meaning the female is growing to the level of the male. On the fourth day of creation, on Wednesday of creation, the moon went to God and said, how can you have two kings? And God's response was, you're right. Please diminish yourself. And the female, the feminine, accepted that diminishment, lowering herself. But we need to have the female grow back to the same level that she was on that fourth day of creation. When the sun and the moon were created, they were initially created equal. And if you look at the moon, it appears has the same size, physical size, as the sun. But we know that's an illusion that comes from them being, the moon being closer to the earth than the sun. But that whole idea, when she comes down, she, in this generation and just since the 1500s, women are becoming closer and closer, and they're always been spiritually higher, but now it's manifesting in the physical. Women are no longer staying in the home and raising children. They're going out to the workplace. But there's lots of explanations for that on a physical level. But the spiritual level is the moon is growing to the level of the sun. It's the prophecy from Isaiah. We're out of time, so if you have any questions, we can take them up tomorrow or on Monday.
Thank you.
We will be having a Tikkuni Zohar class tonight. Again, the purpose of that is because we want to get as much of the Tikkuni Zohar revealed during the period of Elul up through Yom Kippur. Shalom Gadol. Have a beautiful evening.
Shalom.
Thank you, Anna.